Okay, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Let's pray. Father, help us this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the Bible. Fill this place. Fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding. And Lord, I pray you'd help us all. Help me, Lord God, to say what needs to be said and not to be long-winded or not to cut anything short. Father, I pray your people would listen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I really want to preach to you a very pastoral type message. This is not a charge, go get them. This is a very more teaching type message than anything else. But I want to talk to you about consider your ways there in verse 5. Consider your ways. After the Jews were in captivity for 70 years in Babylon, for being rebellious, for being idolatrous, for turning their backs on God, God sent them into Babylon. They were captivity there for 70 years, but then God brought them out. God brought them out. They were able to return to Jerusalem. Now, by that time, however, the temple, God's house, the temple, had been destroyed. All of the houses in Jerusalem were torn down. The whole city was destroyed. The wall itself was destroyed. If you remember Nehemiah, I've preached on Nehemiah before and taught he's probably one of my top three favorite Bible characters, other than Christ, of course. But Nehemiah, and he went back to rebuild the wall. But they also went back to rebuild the temple, okay? Now, like I said, I'm not gonna be able to keep you entertained tonight. I want you to listen on purpose, okay? I want you to listen on purpose. Here in our text, in chapter 1 of Haggai, Haggai is a prophet. Obviously, the Bible told us that. Haggai the prophet. He's a prophet of God. And we pick it up here where God's saying in verse 2, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not yet not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? This people, in verse 2, are the people of God. This people are the Jews. But you notice how God doesn't even say, My people. He doesn't even call them His people. He's displeased, listen now, He's displeased with their attitudes about His house. God is displeased with His people's attitude about God's house. And notice in verse 4 He says, Is it time for you, O ye, you people, those were, again, His people. He said, Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? In other words, He said, you say it's not time to build the Lord's house, but yet you built your house. Now, I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to go back to Ezra. Chapter 4. Well, let's look in chapter 3 real quick. Chapter 3. But if you found 4, you can find 3. Amen. I believe you. I believe in you. You can find 4. You can find 3. Ezra 3, verse 8. We'll be back to Haggai, though. Don't lose your place. Now in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, so they come back out of captivity. In the second month began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem. See, they come out of Babylon. And they appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward, notice now, the work of what? The house of the Lord. Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders, notice in verse 10, laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So they had the foundation laid. Now jump down to chapter 4, verse 1. Now that the foundation was laid, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. For we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. So the people of they were Samaritans that were living in Jerusalem. They had taken over the city. When God's people came back to the city to rebuild the temple, they had laid the foundation, and they had a celebration that the foundation was laid. But notice how it says in verse 1 of chapter 4 that the people were adversaries. The adversaries came to them and said, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. Listen, that was a lie. That was a lie. They were trying to hinder. Notice in verse 3, but Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. It was not the adversaries of God's job to build the house of God. It was not the enemies of God's job. It's not the heathen's job. It's not the pagan's job to build the house of God. And Zerubbabel said, you don't have any business building our God's house. We ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. Right. He said in other words, no. Verse 4, though, look what it says in verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Now jump down to verse 11 of the same chapter. First of all, they tried to get in among them and destroy them from within. God's people were smart enough to say, no, this is not your job. This is God's house, our God. So they began to weaken the hands. They began to do everything they could to slow them down. Then in verse 11, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. Thy servants, the men on this side of river, and at such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, notice, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundation. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. So what happens now is now they're writing letters to the king, the heathen king, and saying, king, have you heard that these Jews are back in town? And they're rebuilding the city. Have you heard, King, that these Jews are back in town? And if they start building this city, they're not going to pay tolls and tributes and taxes. And this is a rebellious and a bad people building a rebellious and a bad city. So they're writing letters to their king, to their government. And in verse 17 of the same chapter, then sent the king an answer. So the letter got to the king. The king sent an answer back to the people who wrote the letter, unto Reman the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria. and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which you sent us hath been plainly read before me, and I command it, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Of course, he's talking about David. Verse 21. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Notice in verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Now, go back to Haggai where I was. That's a background. We pick up here in Haggai chapter 1, right there where chapter 5 of Ezra picked up. But let me tell you, over 2 years, everything stopped. For over 2 years, everything just stopped. The foundation was there. The foundation was laid. The foundation was ready to build upon, but it stopped because of the adversaries. Because of the threats, and because of the king, and because of the government told them to stop. I hope you're paying attention. No, but in Haggai, over here where we started, God is making a point that the people are once again living their normal lives in Jerusalem, but his house was not even raised from the foundation. It says in verse 4 again, don't miss it. Is it time for ye, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? That word sealed comes. It means walled and roofed. It means that it was walled up and roofed over. And he says, you people, you say it's not time to build my house. Why is it time for you to build your houses? And my house is just lying here in waste. If a foundation just lies there year after year after year, eventually it's just going to be worthless. So God's frustrated. God's frustrated with his people. Because they let the enemy stop them, and then they just gave up. They just quit altogether. But he sends Haggai. Now, the prophet in the Old Testament is foretelling what God has already said and telling the future. But he's just a preacher. That's all he is. Okay, he's just God's man that God sends to preach God's message. The message of God. So God's frustrated with his people in Haggai, and then God sends his prophet to speak to the people. And quickly, just a couple of things here, and I'll try not to belabor this point. Number one, what I see here is the great neglect of God's people. God's people were neglecting God's house. Listen now, they were spending all their time and all their effort on their own houses. I want you to notice what happened. Notice what happened to them when they neglected God's house and became stingy and selfish in building their own houses. Look in verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Now the preacher's telling them this. This is the word of God. You planted, in other words, you planted a lot, but you're not getting any crop. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Their money, their crops, their food, their drink, their clothes, everything was coming up short. Everything was coming up short. They did not have enough to make ends meet. I want you to notice with me, verse 7 says again, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says, why do you think that that's happening? He says, consider why that's happening. See, God was doing, listen, only God can do those things in verse number 6. Only God can control the harvest of crop. Only God can control those things. I want you to notice with me down in verse 9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. This is God speaking. God said, when you brought your paycheck home to spend it on yourself and to neglect my house and to neglect my work, I blew on it. I said, and it just disappeared. It blew off the table and it vanished. He said, when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because, notice in verse 9, don't miss this. Pay attention. Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man into his own house. Hey, listen to me. The people of God knew the situation with the house of God. It wasn't a secret to them. However, they got used to keeping all they had and investing it in themselves and their stuff. And God said, I'm not happy with that. I'm not all right with that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to blow upon what you bring home, and it's going to be gone. As a matter of fact, you're going to put it in the bank, and the bank's going to have holes in it. You're going to put it in a bag with holes. It's just going to somehow disappear. It's going to somehow vanish. It's not going to last as long as you thought it was going to last. It's not going to do as much as you thought it would do. God was not happy. And listen to me, verse 10. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. And the earth is stayed from her fruit. Nobody can do that but God. God said, I'm not happy with you. And God, listen to me, God made sure that they continually came up short. Verse 11 says, I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of their hand. God said, I am in control of it all. And I am withholding this from you because I'm not happy with you.
That's right.
You know, God has the power to promote. And God has the power to put down too. And listen, whatever He does is perfect and right and justified. His people were neglecting His house. The word neglect, by the way, doesn't mean that they were ignorant of what was going on. It means they were willfully ignoring it. They were on purpose disregarding the need over there, or that foundation just rotting away month after month after month after year. The foundation that was once a source of celebration, a source of trumpets and praise and tears of joy. Now all of that is just lying waste over there while they're bringing all of their own stuff home to build their houses. And God said, I've had enough. And then God, I want you to see secondly, not just the neglect of God's people, but the need for God's preacher. Verse 12 says, Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. How'd they hear that? And look, it says, And the words of Haggai the prophet, the preacher, as the Lord their who God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. I want you to understand something, that it was God that sent the man of God to preach the message to the people of God that their God was not happy with what they were doing with their income.
Right.
And He did not send a love letter. He sent a preacher. He sent a man of God sent. It says right there, the Lord their God had sent him. And notice, the people did fear before the Lord. The people did fear before the Lord. They heard the word of God. They heard the man of God. They realized that the reason their lives were not working out like they thought they should be, and now they realize God has made it plain to me that He's not happy with me, and the man of God is just simply telling them what God said. And they said, okay, I'm going to obey because I realize God has sent this man to tell me this. The need for preaching still exists today. God's people obey the Word of God because they feared the God of the Word. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to develop this thought a little bit more probably on Sunday. But God's people, they no longer fear God. We, as a nation, we do not fear God. All we ever hear about is God's love and God's mercy and God's grace and God's compassion and God's... And we have made God out to be some ooey-gooey, big, cuddly teddy bear, and He's God! And if God says, I'm not happy with you, it's time for you to wake up and fear, and you better start doing what He said. Me too, all of us. But you know what He does? He sends a preacher to tell us that. He sends a preacher to tell us that. And they feared God. Boy, you know, I remember when I finished Bible college and started preaching full time, I thought, I have got the book of God. I've got the Holy Spirit of God in my heart. I know that I'm going to stand up and I'm going to preach this book, and God's people are just going to, the lost people are going to get saved, and God's people are just going to get right, and we're going to have the best time ever serving the Lord. And you know what? I was thoroughly disappointed and I guess surprised quickly at how indifferent and how boring God's people when the preaching happens. How bored they get all of a sudden. How all of a sudden their mind goes anywhere else but there where the preacher's preaching the Bible. I thought, man, this is the Word of God. This is the God that's changed my life. This is the God that saved my soul. This is the God that... But you know what? Then I began to realize that God's people don't fear God. They don't fear God. They don't worry about what God says. Well, these people were. These people did fear God, and therefore they did what the God said through the man of God. The Bible says there in verse 13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, I like that, in the Lord's message unto the people. You know, that's all the preacher is. That's all the preacher is and should be and ever desire to be. The Lord's messenger speaking the Lord's message unto the people. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. God didn't say, I've completely forgotten about you. God didn't say, I'm not going to help you. God didn't say, I'm not going to watch over you. God didn't say, I've given up on you. What God said is, I'm here, I'm with you, but it's time for you to get up and start doing what I desire for you to do.
Amen.
My house lies in waste, and you know about it, but your houses are the ones getting built. Let me close with this. The neglect of God's people, the need for preaching. But now I want to give you a necessary explanation. Why did I preach this tonight? Listen to me. God did not reach down from heaven and build that temple Himself.
Right.
Could He have? Of course.
Yep.
Of course.
Right.
But He chose to use the people of God that He had liberated from their captivity. Let me say that again. He chose to use His people that He had freed from Babylonish captivity. Now, listen, we as Amazing Grace Baptist Church, we are not literally building a temple. or any type of church building here in this right now. But God, listen to me, has liberated us from the captivity of sin and hell through the shed blood of His only begotten Son. And now He's chosen to use us, listen, to provide the necessary finances to keep His house running.
Come on, that's right. Yep. Come on.
Christians, we are to tithe and give offerings for God's house to keep from getting broken down and overtaken by the weeds and the evil of this world. Just like the foundation was there in Jerusalem. It was just you know why? Because it was neglected for their own houses. It was neglected for their own houses. Now, turn over to Malachi chapter 3 where I said, I'll be done here in a few minutes, I promise. Malachi 3, chapter 8, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. No, chapter 3. You won't find chapter 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. God speaking there. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And here's the answer. In tithes and offerings.
Right. Yep.
Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, notice, even this whole nation. Bring ye, verse 10, all the tithes, not just some of them when you feel like it. All the tithes into the storehouse. Notice that there may be meat where? In mine. Who's speaking here? That there may be meat in my house. What God's saying is, you've got meat in your house. Y'all don't get real quiet on me now. I'm telling you what God said.
Yep.
He said, God, just like Haggai said, you've got your houses. You've got meat in your houses.
Yep, man, that's right.
And you're just going to neglect mine?
Well.
And He says, you're robbing me. He said, bring you all the tithes in the store. And notice, and prove me. Now, God doesn't just give us commandments. Just like He told the people there in Haggai, He said, I am with you. Remember that? Right here He says, look, and prove me that I, it saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I told you earlier, we talked about our memory verse, lay up treasures in heaven. Boy, there's no greater treasures than the ones in heaven. There's no greater, safer bank than the bank of God's heaven, in God's heaven. And He says, I'll pour out the windows of heaven onto you if you'll do what I say.
Good. That's right.
Verse 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now look, number one, when we don't tithe, our wages are cursed.
Right.
Verse 10, ye are cursed with a curse. Why? Because you're not tithing. Your wages are cursed. The penny and nickels and dimes that you're hoarding unto yourself for your house are cursed.
Right.
He says your wages are cursed. He says, verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer. If you don't tithe, however, the works of our hands will be devoured. I will rebuke the devourer. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. The fruits of your ground, we don't, you know, you may plant a garden or something like that, but back in the, that was their income, but it's also the work of their hand. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. The works of their hands, the fruit of their lives. Listen to me. I believe, God, you can make a very close to direct relation to our children. Our children, our families. We're working to raise up our children. We're working to guard our children from the devourer. And God says, if you'll tithe, if you'll give to my house, so there's meat in my house, not only will I give you blessings poured out from the windows of heaven, but I'll keep Satan off of your house.
Right, amen.
But if you don't tithe, your wages will be cursed. The works of your hands will be devoured. And your way of life, look in verse 12. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. Oh, I love that word, delightsome. Isn't that that's a nice Bible word, delightsome, saith the Lord. But look, if you don't, your way of life will be destroyed. Has anybody seen any news lately? Do you think that our land is delightsome right now?
Well,
it's not because the heathen are raging. They've been raging ever since the beginning of time.
Right.
It's because God's people are building their houses.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. Nope.
And the preacher stands up and preaches it. Nobody wants to preach it anymore. Nobody wants to talk about money anymore. But I'm just simply telling you, God still has a lot to say about money. And about what you do with it, it will greatly depend on the outcome, how your children turn out, how your life turns out, how your marriage turns out. It all depends on how you treat the house of God.
Amen. Right.
Our revival with Brother Smith was a blessing.
Amen.
Our friend day was exciting.
Amen.
Our missions conference is going to be, always is, the best meeting of the year. Because it's God's heartbeat, worldwide mission, souls all over the world. These events, listen to me, however, cost money.
Right. Yep. Well.
They cost money. You understand that just because we have special meetings doesn't mean that we don't have to pay our rent anymore or pay our light bill or pay the bills and these vans and things like that.
Right.
Every time you don't tithe, listen to me, every time you don't tithe, and let me explain to you what a tithe is. Maybe you're saying, I don't really know what that is. Well, okay. It's 10% of everything that comes into your house is income. $100 is $10. $1,000, it's $100. Okay, you just divide it by 10. Okay? You just divide it by 10. You get 10% of whatever it is. $1,500 is $150. $20 is $2. That's the tithe. That's the bare minimum. God says the tithe belongs to the Lord. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. But listen, every time you don't tithe, it's not an accident. You're willfully neglecting the house of God.
Right. Yep.
Some of you better learn this.
Amen. Well,
you better learn this. I will never look on you differently. I will never love you less. But God will know. God will know.
Right.
Whether or not you are involved in His house or your house. Now you say, well, what about my house? I can't just let my house go to waste. Well, maybe you're not paying attention, apparently, because He said, if you'll just give me a tenth, I'm leaving you 90. You know, he could have asked us for anything or all of it. I mean, it's all his. And you're a fool if you think that what you make is yours and you're going to keep it to yourself and not give God any of it because you got to make it go further. You're not thinking straight. God says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to fit in your life. I mean, well, I never got all of that. I'm not talking about necessarily money. I mean, how much are your kids worth? Every time they walked by that foundation over there in Jerusalem and they said, man, somebody needs to do something about that. Boy, I hope somebody gets on that. Boy, that's starting to crack. Weeds are starting to grow up all over that thing. I better go tell somebody about that. It's not that it was a secret that it needed work. They just neglected it. They just flat out said, ignore that thing. Pretty soon they just stopped walking by it. Pretty soon they just stopped thinking about it. But their houses were decorated, filled with meat, nice and cozy and comfortable, all the newest furniture, the newest vehicles, my bank account this, and all the while the foundation's over there just rotting. And God said, I'm not happy with you. Matter of fact, if you don't listen to me, all of your money's just going to go in the bag and go out the hole at the bottom and just disappear. I'm just going to go blow on your money and it's going to blow out the window. You say, well, God can't do that with my money. You need me to preach on the fear of God a little bit more if that's your attitude. God says, it's not going to rain when you're trying to grow something. The ground's going to be hard like a brick when you're trying to plant something. And what he's saying is, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere in life as long as you continue to neglect my house. Amen. The things that we have to do around here, granted, we could just do nothing. But I refuse to shrivel up and die. What God is saying to us tonight is that if you will do what I say, I'm going to bless you more than you can even imagine. Amen. Or you can keep having your money fall out the bottom of the hole in the bag and blowing out the window. Amen. It's not an accident when you don't tithe. It's willful neglect. Haggai said, consider your ways. He said it more than once. How about you tonight? Consider your ways. What's your priority with your finances? Where are your treasures? Consider your ways. Hey, how's your financial situation looking? Well, it's pretty rough, preacher. Then you should be the one listening on purpose tonight, because this is God's plan to increase your finances and to bless your life. I didn't say you're going to get rich. Don't give me all that. I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm talking about God giving you what you need if you'll honor Him with what's His. Right. I'm afraid some of you... Some Christians just never get this. They just never get this. They just refuse because they have no fear of God. They refuse to believe God. They refuse to believe it. And the fact is, you're making your own bed, and you're going to lie in it. Consider your ways. Listen, how are your children coming along?
Right.
Let me ask, are your children more godly today than they were when you got saved? Consider your ways. You don't have to consider my ways. I need to consider my ways. You need to consider your ways. Consider your ways. Has this church been a blessing and a help to you? Amen. Not me, this church, the house of God. God. Has this church been a help to you? Amen. So consider your ways. Are you faithful to give at least 10% of your wages to God's house every time you get paid?
Thank God. Amen.
Some of you, I'm afraid you can't say that. You can't say yes. But listen, if you're going to... Every time you see that foundation over there and you say, boy, somebody needs to do something about that, you're making a statement to God. You're saying, God, my house is more important than yours. Now, if you want to live your life like that, I think you're crazy. You're missing out on all the blessings. Your children are going to go to the devil. You're never going to get ahead financially. Because God, He said, your wages are cursed.
Right.
Because you know you're supposed to honor me.
Amen.
And my house. But you won't. I don't want this church to have anybody in it that would willfully neglect God's house. But I'm afraid it already does. I believe probably every church does. Because some people just will not listen. The blessings of God are beyond belief. You can't even fit them in your life. And then when you get to heaven, there's going to be all kinds of treasures laid up there for you.
Amen.
And that bag doesn't have any holes. Amen.
Right.
No holes in that bag.
Amen.
Nobody blown it out the window.
Amen.
Oh, how I wish I could get this across to you. If you don't fear God, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep robbing God. God is never going to be pleased with you. You're going to miss out. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. That's why He sends a preacher to tell us.
Right.
Father, I pray You'd bless Your word tonight. Lord, help Your people to realize I don't know how else I could possibly make it any plainer. Lord, I pray that You'd work in the hearts of those that are still stingy with their tithe, still unfaithful, still untrusting, still unbelieving. Lord, they're never going to get ahead. You're never going to be happy with them. Well, I don't want that for them.